We will talk today together briefly about the different ranks of the clergymen. Who are the clergymen in the church? What are their ranks and what are their functions? A clergyman is a person who is ordained to perform a religious activity or a religious service. In the Old Testament, God chose certain individuals to minister to his people and to perform these services. And the people that he chose, he consecrated them, so they were chosen, they were consecrated, and they were commanded even to dress in a very specific attire and designated robes. As we read in the book of Exodus, chapter 29 and verse 9, the Lord tells Moses, "And you shall gird them with sashes, Aaron and his sons, and put the hats on them. The priesthood shall be theirs for a perpetual statute. You shall consecrate Aaron and his sons." In the New Testament, our Lord Jesus Christ himself appointed his disciples and he gave them authority to work and preach and perform these clerical services. And he told them in Matthew chapter 28, "All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." So we have the rite of the ordination in the Old Testament when God ordered Moses to anoint and appoint Aaron and his sons to the priesthood. And we have in the New Testament that the Lord himself appointed and consecrated the disciples to become the clergy. In the Coptic Orthodox Church, we have three basic ranks of the clergy. The first rank is called the episcopate, or the order of the bishop. The function of the bishop is the shepherd. So the bishop is the shepherd. The second rank is the presbyterate, or the order of the priesthood, and the priesthood is the teacher. And the third rank is the diaconate, or the deacon, and his function is the server. So we have the bishop, who is the shepherd, we have the priest, who is the teacher, and we have the deacon, who is the servant. The hierarchy of the Coptic Orthodox Church, basically, so we have an idea, we have what is called the Holy Synod. The Holy Synod is composed of, first of all, the Father, the Patriarch, the Pope, along with all the metropolitans and all the bishops, and along with, of course, the heads of the monasteries, most of them are bishops, and the Patriarchal Secretary. So all of these together form the Holy Synod. The Holy Synod is the highest order in the church, الهوى المجمع المقدس. This is where all the decisions are made. They usually meet at least once a year during the Feast of the Pentecost, and this is when the Father, the Patriarch, would ordain any new bishops. This is where they would discuss matters that are related to the church, and this is where they come up with decisions for the church. So after the Patriarch comes the metropolitans and the bishops, and the patriarch and the bishops, this is all one rank, which is the rank of the episcopate. And underneath that, as we said, the rank or the order of the priesthood, and underneath that is the rank of the diaconate or the deacons. The bishop, as we said, his function is what? He is the shepherd. That means he oversees all of the diocese activities, all of the bishopric, الأسقفية أو البرشية. And there's three ranks in this order. You have the bishop, then you have the metropolitan, and then you have the patriarch. The bishop, the metropolitan, and the patriarch. The duties of the bishop is to oversee all the services in the diocese, to ordain priests and deacons, to consecrate churches and vessels, and among other things, to embalm the relics of the saints. So this is the function of the bishop or the episcopate. The next rank is what? The priesthood. The priesthood is the teacher. There's two ranks in the priesthood. There's the presbyter and the higoman. In Arabic, القس والقمص. The presbyter and the higoman. The duties of the priest is to oversee all the services in the church, to administer the church sacraments, and to recommend the ordination of deacons. So the priest, the teacher, he oversees the services in the church and, of course, administers the church sacraments. When a bishop or a priest or even a deacon is ordained, after the laying of the hands, in other words, the patriarch or the bishop would lay his hands on this person to ordain him, he gets a new name. And this new name, usually after the name of one of the saints, just like our Lord Jesus Christ gave new names to his chosen apostles. For example, Simon, he called him Peter. Okay? This new name indicates that there's a new beginning, a beginning of a new life, and this person has entered into the service of God and has taken on a new character, a new life. When was the rank of the diaconate established? We find this in the book of Acts chapter 6, at the time of the apostles. At the time of the apostles, there was a lot of things happening, and there was a lot of services that were being asked for. And so the disciples decided that they cannot do everything by themselves, and they needed some help. And so as we read in Acts chapter 6, the apostles said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables." One of the services, of course, is to serve the needy, give alms to the poor, etc. So the disciples said, "It is not good for us to leave the preaching in order for us to serve the tables or to serve the needy. Therefore, brethren, pick out from among yourselves 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint to this duty." So they chose 7 people, and they ordained them to take care of the service. The most famous of them, of course, is Saint Stephen, the archdeacon. So what are the qualifications of a deacon? If somebody wants to become a deacon and he's asking, what should I do, or how should I be considered fit for this rank? The answer is actually in the Bible, in the epistle of Saint Paul to his disciple Timothy. He says, "Likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. But let those also first be tested, then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husband of one wife, ruling their children and their own households well." So these are some of the qualifications, or the qualifications that were set by St. Paul in order for people to be considered for the rank of the deacon. The diaconate rank, the term deacon is derived from the Greek word diakonos. Diakonos means servant. And there's actually 7 ranks in the diaconate. 5 of them we know very well, 2 of them we don't know that well, perhaps. And these ranks are the archdeacon, or the head of the deacons, the deacon, the subdeacon, the reader, the psalter, the deaconess, and the chaim. We'll talk about each one of these. The first rank, which is the psalter, or in Coptic psaltos, we hear when Sayyidina ordains, especially the young deacons, he ordains them psaltos. Psaltos means chanter. Psaltos means somebody who is going to chant, who's going to sing. And that's why the bishop usually wants to make sure that before these deacons are ordained, they learn the hymns, because this is going to be their job. And the word psaltos is derived from the word psalm, because most of the hymns that we have in the church are derived from the book of the Psalms. For example, the midnight praises, the tasbihah, most of it is from the Psalms. So the psaltos is needs to learn the hymns very well, needs to be able to sing in a harmonious tune with all the other deacons. We cannot have one deacon who knows the hymns well, but he doesn't sing well with other deacons. Then we don't have a chorus. We have, noise. Instead, we need deacons who can sing well and sing well together with each other. The function of the psaltos is to lead the congregation in the hymns and praises, and that's why the deacons who are ordained psaltos usually serve outside in the chorus, in the outside chorus, not inside the altar, because their job is to lead the congregation in singing the hymns. And their attire is to wear a white tunic, which symbolizes the purity of the angels. The second rank is the rank of the reader, or the anagnostos. Actually, anagnostos in Arabic became ognostos. The N was dropped, I don't know why. But the ognostos, or the reader, he's supposed to be able to read the scripture well to the congregation and explain them. And explain them. Not only to be able to read, he has to be able to read well, and he has to be able to explain the scriptures. Also, another function of the reader or the ognostos is to read the list of the patriarchs. We have a response in the liturgy. We hear it all the time. It says, "Let those who read recite the names of our holy patriarchs who have fallen asleep." We hear this every Sunday, and we wonder what the deacon is talking about. Actually, there's a hymn in the liturgy. It's called Ephesus, and in this hymn is a list of all the patriarchs who have departed, all the patriarchs beginning from St. Mark until the present. And the job of the reader is to read these names of the patriarchs when the deacon commands him to let the readers recite the names of the holy patriarchs. He must understand what he's reading, of course. If he's going to be reading and explaining to people, he must understand what he's reading, which means that he has to constantly read in the Bible and always expand his knowledge, and he has to dedicate a part of his time for reading the explanation of the church fathers. So not only reading the Bible, but in order for him to be able to explain it, he must understand the meanings behind it, so dedicate some of his time to read the explanation of the Holy Church Fathers. The reader is permitted to help in the preparation and arrangements of the vessels before and after the divine liturgy, as the prayer of his ordination indicates. Again, that's why in the altar, we usually do not allow the psalters to serve, or at least not to after Abuna finishes the prayers, we put the vessels away, we dry them with towels. This job should be only given to ognostos and above, anybody who's a reader and above. The attire of the reader, or the anagnostosis, is to wear a white tunic with a red patrasheel, or the sash, in the shape of the cross, like the sign of an X. The next rank is the subdeacon. The subdeacon, or the epidiakon. Epidiakon is a Greek word, means the helper or the assistant. So the subdeacon is a helper. Helper to who? The deacon. Some of the functions of the subdeacon, he guards the doors of the church during the divine services so that there's no disturbance caused inside by the outside. Actually, sometimes we see this in our church here. We'll find that sometimes we'll have a deacon stand in the back at the door to make sure that there is, there's no traffic, there's no noise, people coming in and going out. This is not to make people uncomfortable. This is to keep the order of the church, to keep the order so that there's no noise and there's no disturbance during the liturgy. He assists the deacon in the service, and his attire is to wear a white tunic with a red patrasheel on his right shoulder. So this is the subdeacon or the epidiakon. The next rank is the deacon or the diakon. And this is somebody who is fully consecrated for the service. Shemes, in Arabic, it was Shemes and Mukarras. Mukarras, yani consecrated. Yani he doesn't have any other job. He doesn't go work, outside in some job and then come on Sunday and serve. All of his time is dedicated for the service of God. His duties, he helps the bishop and the priests by preparing the bread, the wine, the water, the vessels, the candles, the books, and the sanctuary for the liturgy. He keeps order in the church. He assists the priests and bishops. He's allowed to hold the chalice of the blood of our Lord Emmanuel and to guard the holy mysteries during communion. He teaches, he distributes money to the needy, he visits and comforts the ill, the widows, the orphans, and the prisoners. And in the early church, they also baptized, and we have an example of that in Acts chapter 8, Philip the deacon when he was baptizing. And in the early church, they also delivered communion to the sick. As we said, the deacon is a consecrated person. He's a consecrated deacon. He can marry only before the ordination. So if he is married and he's ordained, that's fine. But if he is single and he's ordained, then he cannot marry after that. Even if his wife dies, he cannot marry. And a widow who has married for a second time cannot be ordained a consecrated deacon. The church canons are very strict about this. A person who is a widow and then has married for a second time, he cannot be considered for the deacon or, of course, for the priesthood. And this is because the second marriage is considered a weakness, and the church does not allow that the servants to have weaknesses like that. The attire of the deacon during the services, he wears a black robe, just like Abuna. He wears a white tunic on top of it, and then he wears a badrashil, the sash, and he also wears a crown on his head, as you see here in the picture. To the right of the patriarch here, there's a fully consecrated deacon, and he's wearing a crown on his head. During all other times, outside of the services, he wears a black robe, he wears a cross, and he wears the belt around his waist to distinguish him from a priest. And usually they don't shave their beards. They look very similar to the priests. And the last, or the fifth rank, is the archdeacon, or the archdiacon. The archdiacon is the head of all the ranks of the diaconate. His duty is to make all necessary arrangements for church services. He assigns various tasks to the deacons, the subdeacons, the readers, the psalters. He keeps the church books, the vessels, the vestments. He ensures that charity is received by the needy. He acts as a contact on behalf of the bishop, and he participates in recommending candidates for the holy orders. And his attire is similar to the deacon. Same way, he wears black, he's consecrated, etc. The rank of the deaconess, Shemesa, this is the female servant. And we have examples of that in the New Testament. We have the example of Phoebe in Romans chapter 16. And in church history, we have the example of Olympias, the deaconess of St. John Chrysostom. The deaconess is consecrated for the service, just like a deacon. She cannot marry, she cannot have an outside job. She must be a virgin or a widow, and preferably a virgin, of course. And she is ordained by the bishop by the imposing of hands. She assists the priest in the service of women, in such services like visitation of the poor, of the sick. She assists the priest in the baptism of females, in the anointing. She keeps order in the church, especially during communion and things like that. And she leads the congregation, or she leads the female congregation in hymns and praises. And the last rank of the diaconate is called the kayim. Perhaps many of us have not heard of this rank. This is the oblation maker, al-arabni, the man who makes the urban. It's actually a rank in the diaconate. And that's why we say that the person who makes the holy bread has to be a deacon. You know, some women complain, why can't we make the urban? Well, actually, women cannot make the urban, and men cannot make the urban. Only a deacon can make the urban. And that's one of the things he must learn and know the Psalms, because while he's making the oblations, while he's making the urban, he's supposed to be singing and chanting and reciting the Psalms, because all the Psalms, of course, are prophecies about Christ, and he's making the urban, which is going to become the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory be to God forever. Amen.